Hello, welcome to episode 21 of Followers of the Cross. This is your host, Jason Reynolds. Before we get to the program, I'd like to take a moment and thank you for listening to my podcast. It's hosted on Spreaker.com. Spreaker is spelled S-P-R-E-A-K-E-R. Check out the other interviews that I have there. They range from Jordan Feliz to authors of children's books to a scholar who has spent years studying the Shroud of Turin. Producing this podcast and its associated website, followersofthecross.com, takes resources. As you may know, websites and podcasts come with hosting fees and other expenses. So far, I have been carrying the cost of these ministries. But I would like to ask you, the listener, to consider helping a little if you are finding this ministry helpful or otherwise edifying. Opportunities include a sponsorship of this podcast with on-air recognition, or even joining me on the podcast. For more information, email me at journalnewsroom@gmail.com. That is the word journal, J-O-U-R-N-A-L, and the word newsroom at gmail.com. Now to the program. Joining me today is Dave Richardson, Jr. He is a Christian scholar who has spent years working with university professors and others on helping them understand how God informs their professions. Basically, he says that God is the one that ultimately gives them the knowledge they need for their jobs. Dave is an expert at helping people examine the assumptions that underlie their work. I conducted this interview at the International Christian Retail Show in Cincinnati in June 2016. That's where I met Dave. He is the author of the new book called Transparent: How to See Through the Powerful Assumptions That Control You. The book is coming out August 16, 2016. Dave also is launching an app for smartphones that will help parents and other people quickly identify and deal with assumptions that they and their children encounter in life. I'll let Dave tell you more. David, welcome.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about the book that you did and the work that you've done in ministry all this time that's led to this.
Okay. Well, Transparent is a unique book. It's on the surface, it's an apologetics book, but it's way different than your typical book on apologetics and worldview. It comes out of, first of all, 20 years of experience working with college and university professors. And when you're trying to work with people like that, that's apologetics is something that you engage in on a regular basis. But also, I was looking for a very practical way to help, at first, university professors connect their faith to what they do professionally in the classroom and in the laboratory, places like that. And it took me the better part of 20 years to figure it out. And that's where Transparent came from, is the quest to make something practical out of apologetics. And in the process, discovered it's not just practical for professors. It's also practical for students. It's practical for their parents. It's practical for pastors. It's practical for lots of different people, because everybody makes assumptions. And those assumptions are the things that drive us and control us every day. It's like an autopilot in our head. And that autopilot allows us to do other things while the autopilot is flying the airplane, so to speak. We don't have to be thinking about the very basic things of life because we've already figured those things out and assumed them so that we can begin dealing with other more complex issues. And as we examine the assumptions that most Christians have, we discover that those assumptions aren't biblical at all. In fact, according to the Barna Group, only 9% of Christians actually have a biblical way of understanding the world. 91% don't.
Can you go a little bit more into that? What is it that Christians relying on just bad doctrine or?
It's actually deeper than that. Mm-hmm. It ultimately is bad doctrine, sure. But it actually goes back to an age-old problem that's been in the church for several centuries now, where God has a whole lot to do with our personal lives. lives, you know, and we have a meaningful prayer life and a meaningful devotional life, and he helps us with our marriage and our family relationships and other things like that. But if you were to ask the average person, how does God inform what you do at work? They couldn't tell you. How does God make a difference in your work? Because he actually gives you knowledge about what you do. Now, I remember being at a conference about 15 years ago and hearing Dallas Willard speak to a group of university professors in this big ballroom. And he asked all these professors, who were very smart people, he said, who's the smartest guy in your discipline, in your field of study, and in your field of expertise? Who's the smartest guy? You know, you're a physicist. Who is it? Is it Albert Einstein? Or is it Stephen Hawking? Who is it? Who's the smartest guy? And then he said, after a pause, if you name anybody but Jesus Christ, you name the wrong person. Mm. And not only is that the right Sunday school answer, but you have to know why. Because if Jesus does not contribute to knowledge in your field, then why does he contribute to knowledge in your personal life? If he doesn't make a difference in your your public life, why does he make a difference in your private life? And that's a huge challenge for Christians, because I've worked with college professors for so long and seen many godly men and women that love God, love the Bible, have Bible studies, outreaches. They'll talk about their faith with their students and their coworkers. Mm-hmm. But then when they go in the classroom and do the thing that they're a leader or an expert at, they teach the same class the same way as the atheists do, especially in the major universities. But a lot of times in Christian universities, too. You know, when I was going with my wife and my kids to interview different professors and departments as we were looking to pick out a school for our kids to go to, we were looking at several Christian colleges. Mm-hmm. And we'd sit down in the professor's office, the department chair, and ask, how does God inform what you do in this department? And they'd look at me with kind of uncomfortable looks. And, well, some of our professors pray before class. That's not what I was asking. How does God inform what you do? How does he contribute to knowledge here? If you don't understand those issues, then you're basically teaching the same subject the same way as if I went to the state university. And that's really the state of affairs in Christian education in most places. It really doesn't matter when it comes to real-world things, mm-hmm. apart from something that's theological. But if you're talking about science or engineering or medicine or economics or any other real-world thing, most Christians have no understanding of how God relates to those things in a meaningful way that actually contributes to knowledge, that changes what they do. Mm-hmm. And that's where the disconnect lies.
And what do you think that disconnect exists? What do you think that exists?
Well,
it's a
deeper philosophical thing. It started back with a philosopher by the name of Immanuel Kant, but I don't want to get deep into all of those things. Basically, he cut God off from the world, the real world, so that we could save him for the private world. And he actually created this whole secular sacred dichotomy that we've lived with in mm-hmm. Western culture for the last 250 years.
And it seems to be getting worse, don't you think?
I mean,
you know, if society, the way society's going, if they had the way Christians would go to church and that's it, or you know, even you know, you keep that force would keep pushing in.
Yes.
Does your book get into the spiritual aspect of that, of the spiritual warfare that's you know, the root cause of all that?
I mean, it does in the back end of the book,
sure.
in the sense that in the long run, the thing that drives Christian assumptions is understanding that there's a creator and there's a creation. The two are not the same thing, but they are related to each other. There are two realities. But there is a relationship there. Mm-hmm. And God is an intimate actor in the universe, not a distant observer. And as you begin to work that out, it's not just that he's intimate actor in nature. He's an intimate actor in our lives. And if you don't understand that it's the power of the Holy Spirit that enables a person to change what they do, then you're not any different than anybody else that has a nice, interesting self-help philosophy. It's not just knowing the right thing to do, it's having the power to do the right thing. That's why the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 6 and 7 was saying, the very thing I want to do, I don't do, and the very thing I don't want to do is the thing that I do. Mm-hmm. It's not that knowledge or lack of it is my problem. I know what to do, it's just I'm unable to. So where do you get the power? It's that relationship. Once you have Christ in your life, you have the power to do what's right and to do what's good and to connect with what's true. Because truth is not just a philosophical proposition. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Isn't it interesting that he said, I am the truth? Not that I know the truth or I found the truth or I can show you the truth, but truth is a person. Christians follow a person. Mm-hmm. And that's very different than everything else in the world.
Amen. Tell me a little bit more about your work with Eric Metaxas. I understand that you've done some with him.
Well, I haven't done a lot of work with Eric yet, okay. but I'm expecting to before long. But he's in New York City, mm-hmm. Friends with a number of different people who are friends of mine as well, who are involved with the King's College in New York City. In fact, my daughter just graduated from the King's College a month ago.
Okay.
But I've known the founder of the college for a number of years, and the current president I know, and all of them are all friends with each other. And I'm expecting before long to be on, doing some things on his radio program and some other things related to perhaps his Socrates in the City Forum or other things that he's doing as we begin launching the ministry of the Assumptions Institute. Yeah, like I said, right now we're just in the very beginning phases of getting everything started, and I have a number of people that I've shown this to, and they said, yeah, this is really important stuff, and we're behind you. So we're just on the cusp of the cliff with the hang glider on our back, and we're about ready to jump.
Good luck with that. I'll say a prayer for you.
Thank you.
Tell me about the Institute. How is this going to be set up?
Well, it's primarily an educational kind of ministry, and it's, of course, surrounding this whole new methodology of understanding people's assumptions. How do you detect them in a very practical way? In the book, it's not just a philosophical, theological exercise. This book is eminently practical. There's an actual method and skill that you learn in the book that helps you detect the assumptions in your own life and detect the assumptions in the things that you read, like a web page or a book, or the assumptions you see in a movie or a TV show, or the assumptions that are underneath the things you hear, like a conversation with a friend or a lecture in a classroom or a conversation on talk radio. How can you tell whether the message is true or not? You can if you can detect the underlying assumptions. You can do it very quickly. In the book, there's a specific method for doing it. There's even an app for mobile devices that automates the whole thing. And with a little practice, you can actually detect the assumptions in these things in no more than 20 seconds.
Really?
It's very simple. The fact that God gave me this thing is blowing my head every day.
God does that. He's really good at that.
Yeah, because not only is it elegant, it's simple. And if it's not simple, nobody's going to do it.
Right.
And that's why I'm very excited about this, because it not only helps a PhD in a classroom, it helps a parent connect with their student, with their kids, in the world that matters to them. You know, it's YouTube videos and movies and lyrics and songs and things like that. So when you're sitting down watching a movie on Friday night, you can ask your kids, hey, I wonder what the assumptions are that they're communicating in this movie. And you can pull out the app on your smartphone and dial it up, and 20 seconds later, you're having a meaningful conversation about how God relates to what was going on in the movie in a very natural, easy way.
Yeah.
So, when you are faced with the persistent statistic that we see in the church today, and it's been going on for decades, it's one of those quiet little things that nobody wants to talk about. Everybody sees it. Everybody knows it. But nobody knows what to do about it. And that is that somewhere in between 60 to 75% of Christian kids that grow up in a church or involved in a Christian ministry will walk away from their faith sometime in their 20s, and very few of them will ever come back. What do we do? Well, I know why it happens, and I know when it happens, and it's not in the university. It's not in the high school. It starts in kindergarten, and it starts with the basic assumptions that we teach our young kids, and it's really the church that pushes the kids out the door, and they don't even realize what's going on. And so this actually gives us a practical skill and a tool that we can put in the hands of a parent. And as they practice it at home and in other real-life situations, they're teaching their kids a basic skill so that when they leave home and they go to a university or they go on into whatever career they're going to do, they'll understand how God relates to whatever it is that they're venturing into. And when the world comes at them mm-hmm. with all these wild, crazy things, they'll be able to discern quickly whether it's true and whether it's not, whether they should accept it or reject it, and how that all relates back to their faith in Christ, because this is real-world things. And we want to work with professionals and business leaders, educators, government diplomatic, military leaders, lots of different people on that side, but also pastors and parents and students. So we want to begin to clean up the toxic waste dump of ideas on the one side, but at the same time equip families and students and churches with the tools they need so that their students stop marching off the cliff like lemmings every year, we're able to go at it from both directions. It's a very powerful method. It's different than apologetics. It's not worldview. It's something totally new, and we're very excited about it, obviously.
Okay. So when will this institute go live?
When the book launches, which will be in August.
August, okay.
So as the book begins to gain traction, it's the basic understandings of assumptions and how they work that will be a part of some of the seminars and the speaking engagements that I'll do and consulting that I'll do with businesses or educational institutions or individual educators. I've been privately mentoring teachers in how to do this sort of thing. This works in public schools, by the way. It's crazy how many different ways it's useful.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so you mentioned August. What's the book launch date in August?
The book launch date is August 16th.
August 16th.
And actually, the book is available in ebook now.
Okay.
It just went live a couple of days ago on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. So if a person's just chomping at the bit and wants to read the book in an electronic edition, it's already available for electronic download. The print is in process right now, and it'll be out in the middle of August.
Okay. And where can they get the print edition?
The print edition is available at any major bookstore, whether it's Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, family bookstores, any of the major bookstores should handle it, and you can, of course, buy it online as well.
Okay. And who's your publisher for the book?
The publisher is Clovercroft Publishing, mm-hmm. and it's distributed by Ingram, which is the largest book distributor in the country.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And for more information about what you do, where can people go?
They can go to the assumptionsinstitute.org. It's assumptionsinstitute.org. That's the organization website. And the book is thetransparentbook.com. Thetransparentbook.com is the website for the book. And also, you'll find my personal blog. It's connected to daverichardson.org. Which is my personal website. So all of those things are wrapped up in this new launch, assumptionsinstitute.org, thetransparentbook.org, and daverichardson.org.
Okay. Well, David, I appreciate you joining us.
Thanks so much, Jason. I appreciate the time.
Yeah, definitely.
That's all the time for today. Check back soon for more episodes, including the latest news from The Band Unspoken. Thank you for listening.